Welcome to Unqualified, Not Disqualified. We have done this a whole bunch of times, but now with video, now with better audio, now with everything kind of working in a new way.
Yeah.
So I am Tim Martin.
Yes,
and I am a welder, and I love God. I love having fun, and we've pulled people together to kind of talk about different things, talk about a whole bunch of things we're probably unqualified for. But you know what? We're not disqualified because God will qualify us.
Hey, it's Nate. Hey. We're Never Ceasing Podcast, and we're going to YouTube now. So I kind of just wanted to change it up a little bit, change the name, say like, you know, let's just start over. So I'm Nate. I work at Amazon, and I'm just a delivery driver. A weird fact about me is I like to be an idiot.
That's a great weird fact. And we have a
and then we got Michael over.
Yeah, we had him as a guest.
I don't have a weird fact.
That's okay.
But we have Michael.
Have Michael. He's new. He's very fun.
Yeah, very green to this. So yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I say we've done this for 2 years, but not as advanced as we'd like to get. We've updated a lot of things. We have a better soundboard, better things. We have asked for a lot of help from this specific man. This is Caleb here. He's going to say something.
I am a professional distraction.
Oh yeah, he's really good at it.
He is our producer, engineer, whatever you want to call him.
TBD, determined on title that doesn't exist.
Yes.
I'm happy to be here for the next 2 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
I'm glad
we're
here
happy he's here
seconds.
Too.
Yes. Good to meet you too, buddy. First time.
Go ahead.
And the next person we have is AJ. He was not supposed to be here today, but he came in clutch because we had camera problems, and he is a very close friend with me. We do a lot of things.
Yeah, AJ's been my best friend basically my whole life, so you know, I'm happy he's here, but kind of let him talk.
I own the camera, so that's why I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And last but not least, I think a permanent member will be Jake. And Jake here he's been my friend for probably as long as we've been alive.
Yeah.
He's been Nathan's brother for as long as he's been alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's just Michael's friend for a while.
I've
known him for a while.
This Jake, you know, he's, like we said, he's my brother. He's definitely someone I look up to. He's definitely someone I respect. So here he is.
Yep. Again, I'm Jacob. I've known Tim longer than Nate has. So been friends with him for a long time. Got to grow up with Nate. Nate's just he's a good kid. He's got a big heart. He just I'm just happy to see that these guys doing this. Happy to see Michael going.
Hey, appreciate you, buddy.
Michael's obviously just a good figure to look up to for all of us, for everyone in the church. So
it's because I'm taller than all you guys.
It's true. Wow. Yeah, we're all short. Well, not. Happy to
we
be
can
here.
Look
happy
eye to,
be
to
a
eye.
Part, so. Here we go, guys.
The secret is that I don't go to this church, so I don't have to look up to him. So I look at him as an equal.
That's true. That's
it's
true.
All good. It's
we're
all good.
We're all equal in God. So.
So yeah.
We have a lot of new things here today. We have a new soundboard that we have picked up. We have a camera here that is not going to be our permanent camera. We have a Canon, and this is a Sony. And it's really nice to kind of do upgrades, but it's hard to do upgrades because you're testing everything.
Right.
And so if this sounds terrible and looks terrible, don't blame me. I didn't set anything up. Except for the sound.
We're gonna get better if it's not great right now. So
yeah, we also have a new format that we're working on for writing and different things like that. And so it's going to be very, very interesting to kind of do and kind of learn. We're doing a new scheduling right now. We're trying to get into once a month with Michael, getting together, doing a podcast. And so we'll be getting a podcast out to you hopefully every second Friday, I said.
That's the goal. Yeah.
Second Friday of every month.
Yeah. And I really wanted to get Jake in the shot so that way you know who's behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And also, if Michael by chance can't make it, he'll probably just step in for that week or that podcast. But that's something that we don't need to worry about right now because we're going to try to make that not happen.
If he has anything he wants to say ever, he can hop in if he wants to.
Yeah.
As long as it's not something like super menial, like, no, he's wrong, and then run out of frame.
You're absolutely incorrect. You couldn't be more wrong.
I've definitely it's definitely good to have everybody here.
Yeah.
And if you've been here, you're probably looking at the titles and going, you're talking about being defeated. So why don't we just go ahead and jump right into talking about, you know, this being defeated. I don't know. It's not a good feeling.
Not to go back.
Oh, he wants to go back.
But I don't want to skip right to that quite yet. To kind of talk a little bit more about our title, our scripture reference for our podcast is in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5. And that says, it is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. So that's what I found, and that's our reference. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Great. I love it.
Yeah. I love what oh my gosh, my brain just went in and out. Sorry, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Yeah.
I've always loved that saying.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we got with our name, is that's our thought is, you know, I'm unprofessional.
True.
Nathan's unprofessional.
Oh, yeah.
Michael, you're a little professional, but not.
I don't know about professional. I do get paid for what I do, so.
A little more professional than we are, but I'm not saying you're professional.
Always learning. Yes. Always learning.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Yes. It is true. But anyway, why don't we talk about being defeated?
That's a great way to just lead transition into our first podcast. Let's just talk about being defeated.
Have you ever felt defeated, guys? I know I have, but
oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I know. It's just the things that we get into.
Yeah,
you know, where it's the things that happen on a daily basis, where you come in and you go to work, and you come in, you go to school, you come in, you go, and the things that you have to do, and those repetitiveness of those things just make you feel defeated after a while.
True.
And I know that I get into this mindset of having to be like, get it done, and getting like on task, and let's get X done and make sure it's done the right way. And I just like, as I'm doing bigger and bigger projects in my life, the worse and worse I've had doing them, because of the more time it takes to do them, the thing I want to do is like, oh, right now I'm doing a Star Wars film, and it's like, listen, our deadline's like 3 years from now. So there's no payoff until that deadline hits. And in a recent time, I've been building armor, but I felt defeated because every time I try to build, and this is the thing I want to do in this activity, but I keep getting defeated and put down because I keep breaking everything. And I feel that's the exact same thing that happens in our lives, is you're going through and you're not putting God first in it, because I was building it with somebody. And what they said was, you're getting really frustrated with this, but give it to God. And it was that moment that I was like, I was defeated by this, and this is something that I want to do. But if I'm not doing it with that mindset of putting God in everything I do, I just am completely defeated, and I have no hope to get back up and keep going.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. I mean, that's with everything. I feel like in anything you can feel defeated, it's a mindset, and it's, you know, it's just, it's a matter of, are you going to allow God to move through you in order to change that mindset? If you don't, then yeah, you'll probably feel defeated pretty much all the time.
Yeah. That's a lot.
But yeah. Yeah, so I put down here, work can make you feel defeated. And it's so true.
Yeah.
Just a little, the mundane stuff, like, oh, I got to go, you know, make sure that my vehicle is 100% ready to go. And I'm like, well, why couldn't somebody else do this? Why can't I just get in my vehicle and go? Like, why can't I, like, why aren't my packages already in my vehicle? Like, I should just be able to get on the road and go. But it's those things that are like, yeah, you have to do that, because yeah, somebody else could check it for you, but wouldn't you rather know for a fact that it's ready to go? Wouldn't you rather be able to set your stuff up and be like, okay, I know where this is at? Like, it's like, that's you gotta, there's mindsets that you definitely have to break, and it's it's one of the most difficult things that you can do. So yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes we go through life and we think that things need to happen a little bit faster.
Yeah.
Than they do. Life takes a little bit longer sometimes than what we really, what we think it should on our timeline and what we want to happen when. And sometimes we get defeated because we set a time limit for things. We're like, hey, I'm 25, should be married by now. Or like, hey, I'm 27 and I should have that job, or I should own a house, or I should have a kid by now, or whatever. And we set a time limit when really, if we're giving it to God, we are really surrendering it to God in His timeline. And Lord, true. What do you want to do? And how do you want to do it? And I think sometimes we can get distracted with like, Lord, I've given it to you. Why hasn't it happened yet? Mm-hmm. Well, if we surrender it to God, we also have to surrender the timeline to God too. And just know like, Lord, you're the one that's in control of this. And having faith that, Lord, I know that you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Lord, I know that this is the plan that you have for me. Lord, it's a future and a hope. It's for good and not for evil. And that this is all going to work out, and better is the end of a thing than the beginning. So Lord, I know that this is all going to work out in the end. And just having faith through it all, like knowing like, Lord, this is my heart. And I know that if I place, you know, my desires and my wills and my wants and everything in your hands, that Lord, you're going to make it better than it could ever be. Yeah. And knowing that our thoughts, our desires, in us alone is always going to be the cheaper version of what God has for us. It's always going to be the great value version of what the Lord has, instead of being the quality name brand, you know, which is what God has for us, is the quality. Not saying that just material items, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying what God's plan for our life is quality. God's plan for our life is the best. And so anything that we would try to make for ourselves is always going to be the cheaper version of that. So just leaving it up to God and His timeline can be frustrating, especially if like you're like, okay, like this is supposed to happen, like in my brain, like I should have been here by now. Sometimes God has to work some things out, you know, or it's just like, hey, we need a little more growing, or this is a setup, like just trust me, I have a plan for this.
Like it's so interesting that, like you said, it's you can start off with pain, and that pain leads to prosper. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so I have to go through this. Why? Have to go through pain in order to feel a blessing? And I'm not saying that's the only way that you can get your blessing, because that is 100% not true. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, there's a you know, a planting, like for farmers, they have to go out and sow the seed. They have to go out and water the ground. They have to make sure that they're ready for the harvest. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, sometimes you do have to go through things that are painful to get what you truly want, what God truly wants for your life. So I 100% agree with that.
Right. And also something about like a farmer who plants, he never regrets the seeds that are sown.
Right.
Where he goes out the next day and is like, ah, man, they're not prospering yet, or they're not producing yet. I'm just going to rip them up.
Right.
Right. Because he knows if he gives it time, they're going to germinate and they're going to get roots, and then they're going to start to spring up, you know, once those things are watered and given time.
It's true.
And so knowing that the Lord is doing something in our life, sometimes we just got to give him time.
It's true. Yeah. It is true.
I like what it says in 1 Corinthians 9. It says, do you know that those who run the race run, but one receives a prize? Run with such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is... let me say that again. And everyone who competes for the prize that is temperate in all things, now they do obtain but a perishable crown, but for we an imperishable crown. Hmm. You know, and that's really what it takes at the end of the day is what are you planting in your farm field? Yeah. Are you planting that field as Michael said, that is that you're trying to build up for yourself? Or are you building that thing that is for the eternal? Are you running that race for the imperishable crown?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and here's another thing though. You have to be careful. Like, you're not always the one that is planting the seed. God plants the seed, and sometimes you're just the soil and you're waiting for what God has for you. And that is what we're always doing. But like, you're not always the one that's planting the seed. you know, there's times where you definitely are. You definitely have to take that step of faith and be like, this is what I'm doing. Like, this is what God has called me to do. And I'm taking this step of faith and I'm doing it. And that's you planting the seed. But then sometimes God's just like, this is where I have called you. This is where I'm putting you. Don't try to fight it. Because if you try to fight it, then you're probably going to end up way worse than you think you would be if you don't go through it. So,
right. And I think also you grow where you're planted.
Right.
And if you keep on uprooting yourself, like, like this isn't it. And I'm going to go somewhere else just because it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You're going to just, it's, and guys that have like five, like, jobs in a year, and you're just like and you wonder why you can't get, you know, set somewhere. It's just like you haven't just sat there. Sometimes work is just work.
Yeah.
You know, you're not gonna love it all the time. Sometimes you just gotta work.
Like, that's rough.
Like I love being able to love what I do.
Yeah.
But the majority of time, it's just work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just work, and it's just like I'm sure at the end of the day, it's just like, man, today was just a rough day at work. But you know, what's the end goal to this? Like, hey, I'm putting money in the bank, and like I'm saving up for this. And sometimes those things, it just takes time.
It does.
Just takes time.
It does. It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. I know for me personally, a lot of times I like what I do for work, but I don't like the people around me when I work.
Yeah.
Like if I could work.
Work like would be great if it wasn't for the people.
Right.
I would love a place where, cause I talked to somebody recently, I think it was Nathan, that I'd love to work in a 100% Christian shop where everyone has the exact same beliefs that I do and everything's like super perfect, but it's like
how
unrealistic that like at least one person isn't going to be someone you dislike.
Yeah. I don't know if I could work in a place that's just a whole bunch of clones of me.
Right. Exactly.
Like, I'd be getting so many arguments with myself.
I don't want to talk to that guy. Wait a minute. That guy's me.
That's me.
Yeah. I have a tendency to be controlling, and so that would be like a perfect clone of me, but also have that tendency to be a little too controlling. So
everyone's controlling everyone.
I couldn't work with me.
I couldn't work with me.
It's also nice to get that different thought process and that different opinion. But just thinking about discouragement, the specific discouragement that I keep getting is that I go into work and I have these discouraging thoughts and these discouraging mindsets, and so I was always told, well, talk about your feelings to people. And so I have talked to people at my work and they have consistently always given me the exact opposite thing of what I should do. And like, I'm like, oh my goodness, like I'm really struggling with trying to cope with being single. And they're like, dude, just go out, pick up a girl off the street and just go out with her and do all the
So you're going into a secular environment and asking people who aren't Christians, what should I do with my love life, and try to get someone that's going to tell you something godly.
and they're not
telling you anything godly, and you're like, darn, I really thought I was going to get a different outcome.
So, I know it's like stupid, but I'm thinking, talk out my emotions here. Like let out your emotions. And I've just learned, like, listen, you just got to save that for people.
You need to find some bros have the same values that you do. And then you also need to find some married guys that have been there and have bought the t-shirt and have like, oh man, I remember when I was 25 and like, I didn't ever think I was going to get married. And then I met her and then like, it just all happened at once. Yeah, it's like, I would encourage you, start stepping out in faith. One thing that I did before I got married is I saved up for an engagement ring before I ever met Ashley. Because it was a faith thing. It was like, you know what, God, I'm going to get married and there's going to be a girl that's going to come into my life and I want to be ready for it. So how do I work on me? How do I become Mr. America? If I want Miss America, how do I become Mr. America? Like, I want the perfect girl for me. So how do I be the perfect husband? And so how do I for her. So how do I work on that? So first thing was like, hey, I can start making a savings account. And I saved up $5,000 for an engagement ring. And the girl was so great that I only had to spend like $4,500 of it. So I was like, this is sweet.
Yeah.
You know, it was awesome.
Perfect for my down payment of this house I need to get now.
Well, and then that as well. Like there was a 401k that I had $10,000 saved up in. It was like, I'm going to take that money out of there, and we put our first down payment on the apartment that we bought. So it's like planning those things where it's like, Lord, it's really not what you do. It's really not the waiting, but it's what you do in the waiting that really matters. It's like, Lord, am I going to worship you in the waiting? Am I going to trust you in the waiting? Am I going to start sowing seed in the waiting? Am I going to start planting in the waiting? Because if we're like, if we never plant the seed and all we do is wait. What are you waiting on? Like nothing's happening.
Nothing's
happening. And the Lord's like, I hate being in a place and being like, Lord, why do you have me here?
Right.
But then also there has to be that mindset of like, Lord, why do you have me here? Lord, why do you have me here? Like, what do you want me to learn in this? I would hate to be an Israelite walking around the mountain for 40 years and not learning what the Lord has for me to learn. You know, and dying in a wilderness when it's like, Lord, teach me the lessons that you have for me to learn in this place. 100%. What am I supposed to learn at this business? Stay there for 5 years. Lord, I hope I learned what I was supposed to learn. Lord, I hope I reached who I was supposed to reach and touch who I was supposed to touch and speak what I was supposed to speak. But and then he moves you to the next place, and Lord, what do you want me to learn here? How do you want me to? So we have to have that mindset. Lord, what are you teaching me?
In
the waiting.
To kind of go back to what Tim said about coworkers, I was gonna put the exact same thing. I was gonna be like, you know what, coworkers suck sometimes. But
Where's the lie?
I kind of went through it with my mom. I'm like, okay, this is what I'm thinking about saying. She's like, no, don't say that, because that's discouraging. You don't want to, like, you're talking to people, right? So you can't be like, oh, my coworkers suck. No, no. But there is one thing though. We do not always see eye to eye. That is 100% accurate. 100% accurate. We don't always see eye to eye. But there's something important in that. You can't blame a coworker for a bad day. You can't, because they might have said something to you that they shouldn't have. They might have done something to you that they shouldn't have. They might have done something wrong in the workplace that they shouldn't have. But you still can't blame them, because one, it might have been a mistake. And like, mistakes happen.
Right.
Two, like, you can't, like, but even at the end of the day, even if it was their fault and they shouldn't have done it, at the end of the day, what is it going to change to blame them? What is it going to change?
Right.
It doesn't change anything. Like, you can go to your boss and be like, so this is what happened today. If you're wondering why this happened today, I saw this. But, you know, blaming somebody for your bad day is unrealistic, because they could be doing the same thing to you. So it's like, it's important to, like, if there's a conflict or an argument or something like that, like, either walk away or try to resolve it. Don't be like, well, you know, they're the reason. No. Fix it. And if you can't fix it, then, like, you know, keep your space and do your thing that you got to do at work, because at the end of the day, that's what you're doing at work. You're working.
It's funny to get into that kind of like if someone makes you upset, because you will get upset. Like, people are going to step on your toes, or just, you're not going to jive with people, or they're going to have a different work ethic than you, or maybe you're the one that's just like, hey, we got to get this stuff done fast and we got to get it done right, and that person's like, no, like, I'm just gonna like wait, and I'm gonna show up to work a little bit later, and I'm not gonna do the work. I'll get that tomorrow when I could have done it today, or whatever. And maybe that bugs you. That bugs me.
all the time.
Where it's like, oh man, like, I'm that guy. It's like, let's get it done now. And like, you know, and then some people that you're working with just kind of slow you down. Where it's like, man, it would be great if I just worked with me, you know, all day. Knowing that I also have something to learn in this, and then having my people that I work with be almost lessons in my life. Like, Lord, how can I work through this and gain something out of this? Like, okay, maybe that person's annoying, but like, how can I make this a win for me, where it's like, Lord, what do you want me to learn? Like, how do you want me to treat this person? Lord, you've called me to treat this person with love and respect. And so how do I treat them with love and respect, but then also have a great work ethic along with them. And maybe some of that is a conversation of like, you know what, we could probably do a little better. Let's try to try to pick it up here or whatever like that. Or is there anything else that I could do to help you work better? Like, you know, and not being, doing it all out of like a respectful heart and like they're human too and and whatever. But yeah, no, I totally get that. Like, like there are people like they're just going to step on your toes at like, work.
If you're just complaining, right? What is that going to change?
Yeah,
and I've learned that. Like,
right.
And that's one of the biggest things for me. I try my best, and I have. So this is a note that I actually put in my, this is a note I actually put in here. I was like, so my coworker the other day pointed out something to me. He's like, all right, so Nate, how can you be so positive about the things that you believe in? Like Jesus, how can you be so positive about that? But literally anything else that we talk about, you're negative about. And I'm like, wow, like that really made me think. It's like, wow, okay, yeah. I mean, you're not wrong, because when I like stop and actually listen to myself, yeah, I can hear it. I can hear myself being negative. I can understand why you think that. And then the only time that I'm positive is when I talk about Jesus. Like that, I feel like that closes the book for most people. Because if you can't be positive about other things, then why would they have any interest in listening to what you have to say about God?
That's true.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I'm with you there in the sense of someone specifically by the name of Nathan has told me that I lack a lot of compassion. and my brother tells me the exact same thing, where he's like, you have no compassion, because I'm a firm person who, when I read the Bible, it talks about how God gives what people have done. They've sown a certain way, and God's like, you've done it. In the Old Testament, it talks about like how, because I read it recently, was how David, when he took Bathsheba, had war for the rest of his life, and that was the punishment.
Yeah.
And so that's how I've set my mindset a lot of times. And the thing that Nathan said, and the thing that I agree with, is that you need to have compassion even on people that you don't like, and those coworkers that you don't like, and those things that you might not like. You need to come in with compassion, because you are never going to reach them with a heart that is hardened, because you said, well, they've sown their own place, they will get what they deserve. And with, especially with Jesus Christ, that's the exact opposite of what he did, because he said, you know, I'm going to die for you while you were yet in sin, and take
it's
those
true.
On.
It's true.
And if I'm putting out there like, you know, you've made your bed and I'll lie in it,
right,
which is still
right,
something I do believe in. But if I still don't have compassion on them, you know, let them go through their thing that they're going through, but have compassion to help them get through it. Don't just let them lie there in their own wallow in sin, but really learn to have compassion for these people that you're around every single day. You know?
Yeah. And sometimes it's not always help them like get through it, but sometimes it's help them get out of it.
Yeah. That's really that too. Because, you know, that's what Jesus did for us. He took the stripes so we can be healed. He died on the cross for all of our sins, and he picked us all back up. And I'm trying to get that mindset up for myself of having compassion, because I just don't.
Right. I think it's funny how you jumped from Old Testament to New Testament. I think it's very important that we don't judge people of an old covenant mindset where an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, blah, blah, blah. That's old covenant.
Yeah.
And Jesus came and he said, the greatest of all these is love.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Love. And if you don't know what to do, love.
Yeah.
Like if an answer doesn't come to you, unlike, and even in correction, love.
Yeah.
Like love. Yeah. It's love. It's compassion. It's love. I came to seek and save the lost. I didn't come to condemn.
Amen.
He's like, even though I'm God, I didn't consider myself equal with God to make it something that I boast about, but I made myself as low as a man so I could come and relate, and then also seek and save the lost and bring them to me. Like that's the way Jesus had, is a new covenant. And sometimes we get locked into an old covenant mindset where it's like, you know, they did their thing and they whatever, and they fell off the deep end. So let them be in their sin. Right? I can't touch them. That's ridiculous, because it's an old covenant mindset where we think that people need to be judged and
it's true.
Okay, but you're not God.
Right.
You're not God. So you aren't the judge. This isn't, if I judge people, I'm going to be judged in the same way. That's scary.
Yeah.
There's just I have no compassion. I have no love. I have no mercy. And God's like, if you don't love them I can't yeah. love you. Like, if you don't forgive That's them, exactly. I can't forgive you. I can't, yeah. You know, so yeah. I, for my own sake, I have to love.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. For my own future, my yeah. own life, and for me to yeah. be like, Lord, I kind of want to go to heaven, and I want you to love me. So I have to love.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have yeah. to be as Christ. And Christ right. was the greatest example
right.
on the cross,
right.
bleeding out.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a podcast the other day. Funny that I'm saying that while we're on a podcast, but they said something about, like, Jesus had so many angels that he could have been like, I'm not going through this.
Right.
I'm not dying right. on the cross for you. But he decided, I'm going to stay here, take this punishment that you deserve, and I'm going to sit here on the cross,
yeah.
die for you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so that way you can be reunited with me.
Right.
Day.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why would he do that? It's because of the love that you're talking about.
Right. Well, and then also, God can't love you anymore.
Yeah.
That's he doesn't love Michael any more than he loves Nate.
Right. Yeah.
And he doesn't love Michael any more than he loves Tim.
Right.
And he doesn't love Michael any more than he loves... I could start naming some names. Like, you know? Like, it's just like...
Little Jimbo down the street.
Right. Or that person that wronged you, or yeah, your ex, yeah. or yeah. the person in the government. You yeah. know, we could fill blank here. Like, right. you know, like, right. he doesn't love me more
yeah.
than he loves them.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And to think of it that way, where it's just like, God, you love them just as much.
Yeah.
And you died yeah. for them just as equally. Why do I create a line in the sand in my mind that's just like, man, there's I can't pray for them, or I can't reach them, or I can't love them, or I have to, when I talk to them, I have to be judgmental. That's wrong.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
That's wrong.
To kind of go off of that, I'm actually kind of getting a little choked up here. But love.
Love.
Yeah. So I had an opportunity to, my coworker, I don't know why, but like right off the bat, me and him clicked. We were just like, you know, let's go play some games online. Let's, you know, let's do this, let's do that. And, We kind of lost touch yesterday, because there's a couple of things that he had said that were like, I don't know, it's not something that I want to, like, you know, be around. And I was like, you know, I don't think this is something that I need in my life, and that's perfectly okay. Mm-hmm. But then I went to the extent of, like, in a way, judging him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not my place.
Right, right.
Like, I shouldn't have done that. I'm allowed to point out, like, what I wouldn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make it okay for me to judge him.
Right. Well, there's also things where you have to protect yourself
yeah.
as well. And then you pray for him. Where it's just like, Lord, I know growing up, there's like, I had friends and cousins where it's just like, they wanted to smoke, or they wanted to drink, or they wanted to do their own thing. And go out and have parties and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm in a youth group. I'm like part of like one of the student leaders, or I'm a youth group leader or whatever like that. It's like, sorry guys. Like, I can't hang out. Like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I love you. You're my cousins. You're my best friends. Like, I love you. But I just can't, you know, hang out with you. And they understood that. It was just like, and maybe it was even said in less words, but it was just, there was a separation. It's not like when we were together, we were great friends. It's yeah. like, you know, we talked or whatever, but it wasn't like I was putting myself in that environment. And you have to do that.
You really do.
You can't just be like, oh, you know, I'll hang out at the party, or I'll while they're drinking, or while they're smoking, or whatever like that, and I'll be fine. It's yeah. like, no, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
You become the company you keep. So yeah. you definitely have to be careful that way. But also, like you're saying, it's like, to look at that person as less than, it's like, eh,
no, yeah,
God loves you. Yeah. God loves them
yeah. Yeah.
just as much. So
I like what it says in 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. It says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with the sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world,
right.
or the covetous, or the extorters, or idolaters, since then you would need to go out into the world. But I have written to you to not keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or idolaters, or revilers or a drunkards or extorters, not to even eat with such a person. And that's the kind of thing I think we need to keep in mind, is that full context of, I don't want you to be with sexually immoral people. You do have to go out and be with sexually immoral people in the world. Otherwise, you're just stuck there. But don't call them a brother.
Right.
You know, I consider Nathan my brother, consider Michael my brother, consider Jake behind the camera my brother.
Right.
And all of these people, I wouldn't keep sexual idolaters. And I would tell you, I can't keep up with you right now. You are not in the right mindset. Let me help you to get into a better place.
Mm.
But that person that isn't my brother, you know, you got to be with them. You're in the world. You got to go out in the world to help people out.
It's true.
And that's exactly what it says.
It's true. Yeah, you know. And one of the biggest things, I think I like, I had, it's a gray spot for me, because maybe I just don't know like the whole entire like aspect of what it means. But like when Jesus came, and I know that Jesus is Jesus, so he was perfect. But
Jesus
like
is Jesus.
When it says Jesus was a friend of sinners, like, aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? So in that case, in that sense, like, where's the line there?
What do you mean, where's the line? If Jesus did it, we are to emulate everything that he did. And he went to seek and save the lost. He didn't come to save those who are whole. He didn't come to save those who are already found. He came to find the lost lamb. He left the 99, those who have already been found, and he went to find the one that was lost. So where is that? What does that look like? So sometimes we need to, what are we going to do? Like, greater is the spirit that lives in me than he that lives in the world. And we think that if we come in company with, you know, a certain mindset or a certain lifestyle or a certain way of living that is not Christian, that is not God following, that is not the will of the Father, that we're going to then, it's going to rub off on us, and that we're going to get the whatever, you know, like it's a disease. But if you're going at it with a mindset of, I'm seeking and saving the lost, I'm reaching into the dirt and I'm pulling out a life. Like, I'm pulling out a sinner. Like, God has called me to seek and save the lost, all who are lost. He wants all to come. Like, there's enough room for everyone. And for us to think, well, like, I'll pray for him, but I have the opportunity to talk to him, but like, I'm not going to, like, invite him to your house.
Yeah.
Like, invite him over. Let him hang out with Christian friends. Like, let him see how you live.
Yeah.
Don't go to the bar with him. Like, that's kind of, it's like, okay. Like, you're not going to go to the club with him or whatever, but like, you're going to invite him over to the house. Invite him to church. Like, speak up. Ask him how they're doing. Ask him how their life is. Pray for him. Ask him if you can pray for him.
Yeah.
Help him out. If you, like, you know, this, show love. Even if they smack you in the face, like, show love.
Yeah.
The Bible says, like, heaping coals on top of their heads. Like, be nice to them, you know, even if it's an enemy.
Yeah.
Anyone could say that I love my brother, those who are nice to us. Right. Even the heathen does that.
Right.
The Bible says, but love those who hate you. Love those who do you wrong.
Yeah.
Love those who have misused you and abused you.
Right.
And that is the heart of God. That's the heart of the Father. It's like, you know, I'm going to love more than all of this. And I think that will get you out of that sense of feeling defeated, because when people do come, and it will happen, where when you hold standards, people are going to be like, well, I drink, am I wrong, am I a sinner, I got a tattoo, what do you think of that, or like, I smoke weed, or what do you think of that, and you're gonna get it, and we've probably all heard it, where it's just like, okay, I'm actually commanded to love you, like, more than
I actually have no choice but to love you.
To love you. And people will take advantage of that, and people are watching us.
Right.
You know, where it's just like, more than we think. I'm surprised at how people who are not Christians, sinners, will know the rules that I have before I even say the rules and standards that I have.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Where people have come up to being like, oh, Michael, you want to come to the party this weekend or whatever? And someone in the room is like, no, he can't come to that. He can't be around that. He's a Christian. I didn't say anything, right?
Yeah.
It's like, they just know the standards that a Christian should hold.
Yeah.
So you better believe they're watching.
Right.
But then also, they also know the judgmental side of Christianity. And they also know the better than thou mindset that we can get, like, we're entitled.
Yeah.
We're not entitled.
No, we're not.
We aren't. No, like, we're, it's like, we're, what's our, Unqualified.
Not
yeah, we're not disqualified. Not disqualified. Like, we are very unqualified. We're all sinners.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like that we're all in that.
Yeah.
So for me to think that I'm better than you is wrong.
It is.
I'm saved by grace.
Right.
And
right.
I pray that the Lord would reach you and that the Lord would use me. Lord, how do you want me to be used? Lord, open up the door so that I can witness to this person.
Right.
And just attacking every day with love instead of feeling so defeated, like, oh, I work at in a workplace full of sinners. I wish I worked at the church with Michael, because he's working with, you know, Pastor Matt and all this stuff, and he's always working with Christians or whatever like that. That must be the best thing ever. But I wish we had a gated community where it was just, that's not God's plan.
Yeah.
God was like, I didn't call you to do that. Yeah. I need you to go into the world. I need you to reach the world. I need you to be heads and not the tails. I need you to be leaders in the world so that people can look at you and be like, wow.
Right.
They're a Christian, and they conduct themselves this way, and this is how they act, and this is how they treat their wife, and this, they're not cheating, they don't got a side chick, they're not
come on.
They're not doing this, like they're not doing that, like they hold standards.
It's true.
And yet they're successful and their lives are together.
Right.
That's amazing.
It
I
is.
Want my life to be like that.
Right.
And just being examples.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We were talking about finances earlier today. You know, it's just like, how are we treating our finances? Are we glorifying God with our finances? Like
it's really
is it for us? Yeah, sure it's for us.
Yeah.
But then it's also a testimony to those who's like, I spend my money on whatever, and like I don't have manager. Well, actually, look, this is how I manage my money, and the Lord's really helped me, and I tithe, and I put God first and all this stuff, and it's really blessed me, and like this is how and look how successful, you know, and I can't claim it all for myself. Like, this is God.
Right.
You know, this is God's rules, and this is the blessing of my life, and not just tithe, but all through life, and just being examples that way, I think will help if we attack our workplace in that mindset where it's like, Lord, I'm on a mission field.
I'm
on a mission field more than like, oh, gotta go to work today. you know like I'm on a mission field, Lord. What do you have for me today?
Right. Yeah. I mean, kind of going off that, Proverbs 18 verse 21, and then I'm gonna read 23 and 24, but starting in 21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And then 23, the poor plead for mercy, the rich answer with insults. In verse 24, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you being a brother to the people that have nobody?
Right.
Are you being a brother to the person that is lost? Because like, if you don't have God, you're lost.
Right, right.
You have no direction. Your direction is living for you. And there's no goal in that.
Right.
There's not. Because like, you still feel empty, and that emptiness is only filled by God.
Yep, yep.
So, very true. If it's all right, I'm just going to slightly change the topic a little bit. We talked about this earlier, but I'm just going to kind of share a personal story about being defeated here.
Yeah.
That has happened to me kind of recently. So this past November has not been a good month for me and my family. My grandmother died this past month.
Sorry to hear that.
And she had really bad Alzheimer's. So all of us were prepared for her to pass. So that happened. We were getting the funerals around. And so I'm just kind of in this attitude of defeated, where it's just like, man, I'm sad my grandma died, which this is a normal human experience. But as we progress through, I then had to go the next week to the hospital on a Monday night at like 3 a.m. And so I couldn't eat or drink anything, and I just felt like garbage, and I felt really defeated, and it was just adding on top of this thing. And then to find out there, I can't eat anything for the entire week that my grandma's funeral is going on. I found out my grandma's funeral and possibly the burial is going to happen on my birthday. And I just felt more and more defeated. And I was just like, man, this is really rough. And so I went to the funeral and I felt pretty garbage. I can't eat any of the food that was there.
Right.
And everyone's preparing all this food for us. And a nice thing to do as a church is, here, take this food.
Right, right.
Couldn't eat any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so sick. And then it went to the plans I made for my birthday, I had to cancel them all.
Right.
And so all of these defeated things, and I was like, Lord, listen, I'm really in a rough patch, Lord. And you know, I did a little prayer, and I was like, Lord, just help me get through this. Help me get through this rough patch where my mindset is going absolutely wonky. And I had this little hope I was holding on to as I looked to death. I was like, let me look at new life, Lord. And so I really focused on my niece's first birthday.
Yeah.
Was the next week. And I was like, you know what? This is going to help. Let's not look at death, you know? Mm. Let's look at life. Let's look at the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we go to the next week after the funeral. You know, I'm still really depressed. I had friends that were with me on my birthday, and I'm very thankful for that. And I had Nathan call me and make sure, like, listen, you've been in a really bad headspace. I don't want you to be alone today, and I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we get to the next week where I'm still feeling defeated. I have all of this hope going into my one-year-old niece's first birthday. It's just like, oh, it's going to be a really cute time. It's going to be really fun. And I felt even more defeated because the thing I looked at was not everything that I had, everything that was good going on. I was really, really defeated. And I went in and I looked at the in-law's family had 30, 40 people there, like a really massive family. And then we looked at our side of the family. This is the same side of the family that my grandma just passed away from. It's probably about five of us.
Mm.
So we'd had a quarter of that. And so then this voice just started coming in the back of my head. And I know it's Satan now, but in that moment, I thought it was my own voice. Of it was just like, you are such a small family. The things that you want, because like I said, I've been dealing with being alone right now. And he's just punching in there like, you're not going to be able to share a family like this, where there's a big family. You're going to be stuck in a family that's so small and so insignificant. There's nothing that you can do, and all of these different things. And I just got into this place where I was like, there is no victory. Mm. There is no hope. There is nothing for me right now. And in that place, I said, you know what? There's nothing here. And I had to sit down and I physically cried and started praying. And I said, Lord, what is hope? What is hope? I don't know what hope is.
Yeah.
And I asked for that. And I kept hearing these voices of the enemy and just being like, you have nothing. Everyone's dying. Everyone's leaving. Mm. Everyone's growing up and doing their own things. And then this the next day was Sunday. And I had to go in. I had to do children's church that Sunday. And so I kind of go in, if I'm having a rough week on a Sunday, I go in with the hope of sometimes the message has something for me, but I knew that I wouldn't be able to listen to that. And so I kind of, the day Satan came in, it's like, oh, you're not even going to get a Sunday message where you can hear what God has for you.
Mm.
And that was like, you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing right now.
Mm.
And I came in to Sunday and I was the most defeated I could be. And I still had the thought of like, you're going to serve today.
Mm.
And you're going to suffer through and you're going to smile for those kids. And, you know, the Lord came in that Sunday and he started with a song and he said, whose report will you believe?
Mm. Mm. Amen.
And that was it. He came in and he said, whose report will you believe?
Right, right.
And it's just that my entire mindset just changed from there of, you've been told all these defeated things.
Yeah.
You've been told you can't do anything. You're going to lose all that you want. And he said, but whose report will you believe?
Right, right.
Are you there looking at Satan's report, staring at that defeated mindset, staring at those things that said, you know, you're going to fail? Or are you going to believe the words that I've written?
The
words that I have said of, I have good things planned for you and not for evil.
Come on. Yeah.
And even in those times where, you know, he brought the scriptures to mind of the report in with Moses is that there was only two. There were multiple good men who said, you know, all of these things are true, that there's a giant in your land, but whose report will you believe?
Come on.
As for me and my house, I will believe the Lord.
Mm.
I will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And that's where my entire mindset got transformed. This defeated mindset of, man,
yeah,
everything's terrible. I have nothing. But the Lord said, whose report will you believe? Are you listening to Satan right now? Mm. Or are you going to listen to the things that I've promised you?
Yeah.
I promise you good things.
Yeah.
You know, you might not see it right now. Yeah. I know.
Yep. Yep.
It's those things.
You generally don't see it.
Yeah.
You generally don't see the sun until God's like, here it is.
Satan will always try to let you take the truth and twist it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, God's got a plan for what I want, for what he wants me to do.
Right.
Not what I want. But that's his good. Will be done in me.
That's good.
Yeah. And every time, as you said earlier, that is always going to be better.
Yeah. And it's even our desires where it's just like, where it's like, Lord, this is my desire, but man, your will be done.
Yeah.
You know, your will be done. And then it's so funny where it's like some things, it's my heart needs to change to his heart. But then in other things, it's like, Lord, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what I wanted. Like, how did you know I wanted a girl with glasses? Like, how did you know? How did you know I needed someone that was going to love my family? How did you know that I wanted someone that was going to be my best friend and not just friends or you know, just a lifetime instead of just, you know, good time? Like, you know, how did you know that I wanted, this is what I wanted? It's like, well, you know, my heart is your heart and you created your heart to be my heart. And, you know, it's like, I want us to be together on this and I want to work. How much more our fathers, like me being an evil person, know how to give good gifts to my son.
Right.
How much more our Heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to his children, right? He's not gonna, if you ask for water, he's not going to give you a snake. Like, you know, he's like he's not going to do that. That's not our God. I was talking to a friend one time, and like, I don't know, God's punishing me. My car broke down and whatever. I was like, dude, I think you just have a junky car. I don't think God's punishing you in a car. That really doesn't sound like the Lord. This person's been doing this or whatever, and I'm watch this tire slash. Like, you know, like, man, I don't think that's the God we serve. He loves us too much. Like, he is, like, he's not gonna sit there and bash us over that. If we know the Lord is punishing us, he's gonna do it in our hearts, and he's gonna be like, okay, like, we're gonna correct here, and we submit and what have you. But man, God is a God that is like. And you just keep submitting it to me. Something that you said, it was just like, Lord, I'm gonna give it to you. And so it's like, Lord, I'm going through this. How do I know that you're really in it? And I feel like I have faith. Do I have faith? You said I have faith to move mountains. Yeah. And it's like, man, Lord, I have faith. Do I not have enough faith? Do I have any faith at all? Like, what is this? I believe that faith is just the consistency of showing up.
Amen.
Yeah. Where it's just, Lord, I'm coming to you with this again. Lord, I'm coming to you with this again. The Lord says, pray continually, continue praying, pray without ceasing, like continue to pray. The Lord, the only way to please the Lord is with faith, by faith, is our faith. And so it's not that the Lord, well, yes, it is. The Lord cannot do anything without faith.
True.
And so it's like, he went to his hometown and tried to do miracles there. He's like, I can't, because there's no faith here. And I believe sometimes we beat ourselves over the head. It's like, I don't know if I have faith. I don't know if I have faith. It's like, well, we're consistently giving it to God.
Yeah. That's faith.
Right.
Yeah.
That's faith. Like, we're consistently giving it. And then it goes back to the timeline thing where it's just like, Lord, this is on your time. I have faith that I've given it to you, but then I also have faith that you're going to do it within your timeline.
True.
It's done. For Daniel, the Lord, Daniel did a 21-day fast and the Lord said, I sent out angels as soon as you prayed.
Yeah.
As soon as you prayed. The first day he sent out an angel. Daniel fasted for 21 days. How much longer would it have been until that angel would have come if Daniel wouldn't have fasted and prayed?
Yeah.
Longer than 21 days. Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's just like he prayed, he fasted, but the Lord heard him immediately.
True.
The Lord hears our prayers immediately.
It's true.
And sometimes there's just a battle going on in the heavenlies. This was Daniel's experience. There's a heavenly battle going on where it's just like, what is going on? I just need to just keep praying.
Yeah.
I just need to keep praying.
It's true.
You know, and fasting and putting it before God. And there's something going on. We are moving mountains. We're doing this. And he, just like David, I encourage myself in the Lord. His men are going to stone him. Like, they're gonna kill him.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just gonna continue to encourage myself in the Lord. Lord, your plans are for me and not against me. You've given me a future and not a hope. True. Lord, that there's a light at the end of this tunnel. Lord, that you are for me and not against me. Lord, that you're my strong tower. You're my shield. You're my vindicate. You're my fortress. Lord, I can run into you and I am saved. Lord, that you are working all things together for the good of those who love you and who are called by your name. And Lord, I love you. Lord, and I know that I'm called by your name. Amen. So then the math is math, and you're working it all out for my good.
Yeah.
And encouraging yourself in that and knowing, like, Lord, and this is terrible. Life is life, and there is death in life, but knowing that there is a future after death. And, yeah. And Lord, that this isn't just the end. It's sad for us here, but we're going to see Grandma in glory, you know? Yeah, right. Like we're gonna be able to rejoice later. And Lord, right. this time sucks. I'm sick.
So
and
better.
There's death. Yes. and I can't hang out with friends and whatever, but and you're going to get me through it, Lord.
Yeah.
You haven't forsaken me.
Yeah.
You haven't left me on my own. Lord, that you're still with me. And the devil would love to take all of your attention and put it on ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And then just be like, hey, look how bad you got it. You know? Exactly. It's like, no. It's like, you know what? I'm going to praise the Lord in this.
Yeah.
I'm going to give God. I'm going to give it to God. Give it to God. So
I really love the scripture where you put David, because the first thought I have as a leader, if I ever lead something, is like, okay, I see the problem. Let's go instantaneously change it. But he took a second. And he said, let me give it to God.
Right.
And instead of going like, all right, I'm going to take this energy that these guys have to stone me and go stone these other guys or go and defeat them. He said, no, the one thing that Saul failed at was he didn't give it to God first.
Yeah.
And he took that and he said, let me go sacrifice. Let me go ask God, what do I need to do to get all everything that I want back?
But Saul wasn't patient either.
Yeah.
That
was the difference.
You know, Samuel came in and was like, what's that sound of sheep that I hear? Or you were told to wait for me, but you didn't.
Right.
Like, yeah. Well, I thought I needed to sacrifice. No, you needed to wait.
Yeah.
You needed to be patient.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
You needed to be patient. Saul is just, he wasn't able to obey the Lord and wasn't able to wait on God. Yeah. That was his problem.
That was it.
That's true. His problem.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, Michael, Tim had said in one of the things, personal experience with being feeling defeated. Did you get anything for that or no?
I mean, life is life, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, life. I was just curious life if you had like a life. Story.
My wife's been sick since August and we're still not out of this. So it's just like she hasn't hardly been to church. Like she can't hardly get out of bed. Feel defeated, wait until it's not you and it's your wife and you can't do anything about it. Like it's just like, you know, and it's like, Lord, we're praying. We've been praying ever since the first day. We've been fasting, praying, whatever. Lord, we've been given our tithe, and Lord, we place it before you, and we have faith. And feeling defeated, sure.
Yeah.
I don't like to say this, but that sucks. It sucks, and it's just like this is terrible, and your heart breaks. But knowing that, you know what, God. We're just going to keep giving it to you.
Amen.
And we're just going to keep trusting you.
Yeah.
And we're going to praise you even for the little wins.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, she's had a headache ever since August. And now for this past week and a half, her headaches have not been there. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
Lord, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your hand. Thank you for being in this and guiding us and directing us through this. And for some of us, we say, oh, it's only been 5 months. Where some people are sick for years and like, you know, whatever. 5 months is a long time. For us, 5 months is a long time, especially with her business and having a 2-year-old and me coming to work every day. And, you know, and everyone's like, well, yeah, that's just life. It is. It's just life. Yeah. It's just life. And a lot of people are going, I don't know what you guys are going through, but I'm sure you guys are going through stuff. And sometimes it's just thrown up to just, it's just life. It's not the devil. It's not, it's just life. And we attack it as such. And devil, you don't have a place in her body. And we're claiming healing over this. And we're having faith for this. But there have been nights where you just feel defeated. It's like, how are you feeling today? It's like, not any better. You know, same old, still got a headache. Still feel like I'm can't get out of bed. Still dizzy, still sick, still nauseous. Don't know what's going on. Is it this? Is it that? Is it what the doctors say? The doctors don't know what to do. No one has any answers. Like, what's going on? It's like, do you feel defeated? Sure, but knowing that, the Lord has a better plan.
Right.
And the Lord is still in it, and he's not left us, he's not forsaken us, and that he's still the God that heals yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that I read about that healed the blind is the same God that's moving in me, and he's called me to do the same things that he did so that I still have healing power in his name, through his name, that I can pray for healing, and that it will come, and that healing is the children's bread, and I don't know about you, but I love bread, and I'll eat bread every day, so that means healing is an everyday occurrence, that I can I can have that healing every day, and so that I can testify and preach and prophesy over my wife and say, you know what, wife, honey, you're gonna get healed. Like the Lord is healing your body. We may not see it right now, or we may see it right now. I don't know, but maybe sometimes we just need to praise the Lord in the waiting and just, Lord, we know that you're healing her body. Thank you for healing her body. Lord, thank you for doing a work in our body. Thank you that you're working on our marriage in this. Thank you that you're working on our finances in this. Thank you that you're working on our parenting skills in this. Thank you that you're working on our patience. Thank you that you're working on our tempers. Thank you that you're working on our love life. Thank you that you're working on this and that and the other. Lord, thank you that you're moving through all of this and not giving a foothold to the devil in any of it.
Amen.
Yeah.
In any of it, because the devil would love to. Oh, your wife is sick, and bro, you got needs. Bro, you've been thirsty, and she's just sick, and you can't, you know, whatever. I'm just being real here. And the devil would love to play on your mind and be like, remember that old porn addiction? Remember remember how you felt? Remember those urges that you got? It's like, devil, you're a liar. You know, it's like, you're a liar. You don't have any, you don't have any hold in this. You're not going to bring up old dirt. You're not going to bring up old addictions. You're not going to bring up old things, because we're going through a situation here. The Lord, the greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I'm going to give it to God. Come God, I'm dealing with this. Or I even text Ashley and be like, hey, babe, kind of struggling today.
True.
It's real.
It's real.
She's your wife.
It's real. It's real. And she goes, you know what, babe? I love you so much. Thank you for telling me. I really appreciate you being honest. Are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing better now. Thank you. You know, and just being totally honest.
Yeah.
And not giving the devil any foothold in self-pity, not giving the devil any foothold in, oh, woe is me, and not giving the devil any foothold in like, you know what? You're right. And we think, oh, this is just my thoughts. Well, careful. Careful. Because the devil would love to throw a little thoughts and seeds in there. So defeated, yes, these past 4 months have been probably one of the hardest in our marriage. Some of the hardest in our marriage, but I feel like we're getting stronger, and I know we are, and that's the Lord is doing good things, and there's a victory at the end, and it's the Lord's healing her body, and we're going to have a testimony, and it's not just for us, but it's for others. It's going to be something where we can stand on this and be like, you know what, God is good, and look at the end of this thing, and we've gone through this, and God can heal your body, and God can do this, because we believed, and look at the testimony that we have out of this, and we believe that that is going to be the end of this, and life is life. Like, I'm 32, she's 27, like, there's gonna be things that are gonna happen in life. You just get older, you know, and things just happen, but we're gonna still believe God, and we're still gonna trust in the Lord, and we're still gonna give it to him and just say, you know what, even in the times where it's just stinky, or just like, I hate this, or it's just like, you know what, God, you've got it.
So. That's true, so that's good,
Yeah, that's really good.
I'm gonna tell my personal story, and then we'll kind of just wrap this thing up. So the thing for me that has been very defeating, and I'm still working on it, and the cameraman, the guy that is right behind that camera, has went through it too. About 4 years ago, our mom and dad got divorced, and since then it's been hard to find the missing pieces that are, like, you know, I know where to find it. You know, it's in Jesus. But I feel like that's so much easier said than done. It's so much easier said than done. And so I looked for it in many ways. Buying things, you know, spending time with friends. And that's good.
Yeah.
It is good to spend time with friends. But if you're trying to spend time with friends and make that your healing, and that's you're not going to God, then it's not gonna work. I picked up a bad habit, and I started vaping, and so you know, that's another thing that I tried.
Pray for your salvation.
But yeah, that's another thing that I was dealing with. And then also, probably one of the
sin is sin. So let's start off with that. Yeah. But one of the biggest mistakes that I've made in my life was I got myself in a really bad situationship with a married woman. And I was trying to find, you know, peace, and I don't know why. I figured, hey, maybe this will work. But, you know, I did that. And it caused a lot of pain. There was a lot of pain there. There's still a lot of pain there. And to be honest with you, I have a longing for that person, but that's because I did things that were outside of God's will. So it's like I shouldn't, and I know that it's wrong. So when that feeling comes, I'm like, God, I know this isn't from you, so please take this from me. But I said I've realized that I've been looking for what has been in front of me this whole entire time. And that's Jesus Christ. It's more important. It's important not to blame others for the things that you do. It may be an influence, but that influence can't make you do something. You are the one that has the final say, and you should always choose to do the right thing.
Yeah. The devil can't make you do anything. And I think sometimes we think that he can. Yep. Where it's just like, oh, I don't know, man, now I'm looking at a computer screen. And the devil. It's like, well, yeah, he might have thrown a thought in there, but like, he can't make you do anything.
Right.
He can't.
Yeah.
He can't.
He can throw them seeds at you. And just to kind of add what you said, I like in James 4:2-3, it says, you lust and you do not have, you murder, you covet and you cannot obtain, you fight and war and yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Yeah.
And I think that in a way, in my own mindset of what I want, and what I have a difficult time saying, God, let it be your will, because I catch myself saying, Lord, I want a wife right now. And I go, wait, hold on. Let it not be amiss that I do it for my own pleasures.
Yeah.
Let it be your will, God.
Yeah.
I ask that it be your will because I know it's better.
Right, right.
It's true.
And it is hard to say. It's hard to do that, especially when you have those things where you're like, I want this thing I had back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it might be health. And you're like, Lord, give me my health back. I want it back. And, you know, I want to feel better. And that's great. But it's like, as you said, this right now is going to be a testimony. I'm not saying that sickness comes because you need to have a testimony. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's what you said before. The angel's already been sent. It's just, when is he going to get there? And it's in his timing.
Right.
You know, let's not lust after the things of this world right now.
It's true.
And let it be God's.
Yeah. And kind of just, you know, wrap this up. How to find victory when you feel defeated. And we've kind of already touched on it. Tim and Michael were talking about praying. They were talking about fasting, and they were talking about reading the Word of God. Those three are some of the most important things that you can do to feel victorious. And reading the Bible makes you feel close to God because they're God's words.
Mm-hmm.
Praying makes you feel like you are talking to God, because your prayers are from your heart. They're things that you desire to have and need from God. And you're saying, God, I know that you already know, but I'm going to go ahead and just throw it up. I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to throw it up there anyways, because I know that you answer prayers.
Right.
So I'm going to give you this prayer anyway, even though I already know that you know what I need. I'm going to pray for it anyway. And then fasting is so important, because it's saying those things that I need them, but it's more important that I put you first.
Yeah.
And it's saying, God, you're more important than what I need and what I want.
Right. Yeah. Something I want to add to your prayer is, on Thursday night, we were going over the youth vision, and we preached on youth vision. And one of those, part of our youth vision statement is connecting with God, and one is prayer. How do you connect with God? It's reading the Bible, and it's prayer. You hit the nail right on the head. That's how you connect with God. But there is, we put out two points in prayer. One is communication, where you're communicating to God with, like, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I want. This is my desires. This is the desires of my heart. but then there's a conversation.
Yeah.
Where it's not only am I communicating what I need and what I want, but we don't go to God as a fast food restaurant and right. say, hey, I want yeah. the fries, I right. want the burger, hold yeah. the pickles, you know, and then leave and be like, thanks, you know. But we there's conversation where it's not only are we talking, but then he is talking back. Right. And right. we have to have that relationship with God. And we have to know the will of the Father. How do yeah. we know the will of the Father? Well, it's by reading the Word of God. And how else are we going to know the will of the Father? He wrote down in letters to us, love letters to us, in a book called the Bible, where it's just yeah. like, this is my plan for you. Right. This is what I have planned for you. Read the Word. Get into the Word. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. Right. The Bible says, how do I gain knowledge? Well, read the Word. Read the Word, and there's that, and the devil will try to defeat us. Our faith is only as big as our knowledge of the Bible. You that's know, true. Yeah, that's true. That's really where our faith is limited to. It's like, all I know is John 3:16. Well, you know, that's what our Pastor Matt said last week. He's like, yeah, well, if you only know John 3:16, yeah. yeah. that's kind of where your faith, yeah. you know, begins and ends right there. But the more that we read the Bible and build up our faith and believe what it says, and knowing that this is the written Word of God, and whatever's in this book is truth, and if I don't agree with it, there's nothing wrong with it. But there's something wrong with me. like, yeah. You know, I'm the problem. If yeah. I don't agree with it, I need to change my heart and my that's mind. True. So just believing it wholly and letting our faith be built off of that, there has to be that foundation.
It's true.
You know?
If yeah, there's not a absolutely. Foundation, there's nothing to build off of.
Right, right.
So it's true. It's true.
Yeah. Jesus is not a genie. I love that saying. It's true. Jesus is a relationship.
It's true.
So...
Yeah. But yeah, we yeah. always end our podcast with prayer. So I'll go ahead and do that. God, I pray that those people that feel defeated, God, I pray that you meet them where they're at. God, I pray that you see them where they're at and you show them that there is hope. God, I pray that you show them that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We will see you hopefully in the next one.